Ownership is all about building on your own success with your own self-discovery. Your life is your business. Take ownership of it. Together, let's unlock the next level of your life. Ownership is here to help lead you without all the noise and distractions. There are hot topics and lessons in life to keep you entertained, gain value, and even some enlightenment all along the way. Ownership is brought to you by Allison Andrews Cantor, a certified coach and business leader with over 20 years of experience under her belt. A battle-born and proven successful entrepreneur, she is on a mission to help individuals take back ownership of their personal life. So are you ready? Let's go. Here she is, your host, Allison Andrews Cantor.
All right, we're back. Here we go again. Episode 16. We can drive a car now. Anyways, we're talking about rituals, but before we dive into it, I want to thank everyone who's been listening and watching us on YouTube and following us on Instagram. Connect with us, joining us at our Soul Boardroom, our monthly Soul Boardroom. Where you at? Come have a seat at our table. And of course, I couldn't be doing this podcast today, episode 16, without my work husband, Mr. Jay Brown.
Oh, but again, you've got best friend, ride or die.
The list is just obscene. It is obscene.
It is obscene, but you know what?
I can't even make you a name badge. There's not enough room.
Oh, wait. I want a name
badge. Hello, my name is, it's my pleasure to serve you. We take ownership of everything here.
You know what I want to do?
What?
I want to get like a cool like bomber jacket with the ownership. Like,
we already talked about this. We talked about starting our little varsity jackets. Yeah, like a bull. I'm kind of going bowling team, but that's cool because I got more fashion swagger than you. So I got a different, I'm going to just level it up one more cooler. But yes, that's my vantage point.
But bowling shirts with our names and curses.
Oh, for sure.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, for sure. We're doing it.
That'd be awesome.
And they got to be yellow. I mean, we have no choice. It's not. We're on brand. Don't even bark up that tree. I won't move that fence. Now you're talking to the creative director. Fashion hats back on. That's not moving. No, we stay on brand here. Like, look at my wardrobe.
Always a pleasure to be helping you get your message out to the masses.
Well, this is,
always
this is fun. Our tag team. We do this together.
It is. High five.
Up high.
There you go.
Love it.
That'd be an interesting side by side camera shot right there.
Edit it. Let's see what you got. Make that movie magic.
I will do.
Okay, episode 16. Yes, we are talking about rituals and how important having rituals are in our life. And I write about this a lot in the ownership book. We have to have rituals, whether they're daily, weekly, monthly. We need to have them all. And some of them can be within the religious space of like going to church on Sundays, praying before you go to bed, praying before you eat food. Or some can just be as simple as if you're a mom and on Friday you take, you know, Friday evening is your night to yourself where you get to have your bubble bath and you're undisturbed and you have no one in the house but you, and you take that moment of serenity to do what you need to do. Rituals don't always have to be within the religious spiritual construct. They can be rituals we do for our own self and our own wellness. But regardless, the whole point of rituals is about optimal wellness of the spirit and the mind. That's really where rituals come in. They fill those cups up.
But couldn't rituals be anything else? I guess for me, one of the things that I do, and this is like,
are you going to say baseball games?
No, I love baseball. But one of the things I always do is when I get up in the morning, I always check the real estate market.
Sure.
I see what homes are going for in the area. So even though we live in Southern California live in San Diego,
it's obscene.
And there's no way I'm ever going to be able to afford anything in this area.
Don't say that. First of all, rewind. Okay. So you're talking to a guiding mindful change ownership coach here. You just made a statement out that is a self-fulfilling prophecy that is not a good one. So instead of saying and affirming, you just said an affirmation. You just literally said, I can never afford to live here, which is obscene because you actually are living in a house. So first of all, your statement is incorrect. So we're going to rewind that tape.
Okay.
What we're going to say is, I am going to work as hard as I can to have a bigger and better house, because you could technically sell your house, get a loan on a bigger one. You could, Jay. So we're not going to get into the minutia. That's when we would call back Connie. Connie, this is a perfect moment for you, Connie. I mean, if you're going to play the real estate game, the person you should be playing with is Connie Sundstrom. She's San Diego native. She helped me get my house. She is thebomb.com. You can actually find her on Instagram. Her handle is Luxury SD Homes. And she is the first person you should call if you're thinking about selling or buying a home in San Diego County. She's so successful, beyond decades of success. And she's a great friend, great supporter of our podcast, our show, and just an all-around amazing woman who I highly, highly recommend. So again, check her out, Connie Sundstrom, again, at Luxury SD Homes. But other than that, Jay, when you're ready, we'll have her tell you what to do. She's the designated authority there, not me. But besides your ritual in the morning of doing that, some of us have other morning rituals, like a beautiful cup of coffee or tea before you get into the chaos of your day, whatever it may be. But rituals can go outside of, again, that spiritual religious state. But I do want to kind of bring up that point. I think for myself, and I talk about this in the ownership book, one of the biggest rituals that we all need to have in our life, besides the simple pleasures of life, the simple things that fill our cup up on the daily, monthly, weekly basis, is we do need to have some connection to something bigger than ourselves. If it's nature for you, yeah, I'm here for that. Go hug a tree. I'm here for that. Go be one with nature. If it's, you know, go sit at the ocean. I do that. That's a big one for me, is the ocean. I have my little spot and my rocks and I dig it. But there needs to be some type of spiritual practice. And whatever that is for you, wherever you find your grounding, it is so, so important, because it's an incredible pulse check on your life and on your heart and on your mental state. Like having that check-in, whatever it may be, for me, I meditate and that's how I talk to God. Literally, it's my direct connection to spirit. When I meditate and I get into that deep state, the things that come to me are incredible and they're powerful. And they're these aha moments of, oh yeah, oh, I didn't think of that. Or, oh yeah, I need to keep an eye on that. Or yeah, that could work. And they really do help fill the cup up and also give some direction and grounding, above all grounding. And when you can be quiet enough and let all the noise of daily life, routines, the to-do list, what we got to do, the moving, the hustling, and you let all that kind of fade away, what comes to you? What are you left with? What is that space? And these rituals are a really beautiful practice to put into that space, whatever it might be. One of my biggest rituals is I go to meditation on Sundays. I either go to the kid room with my kids or I get to have big room energy. And I'm all about big room energy because I think that's just where it's at for me personally. And then we go have a beautiful chai tea and a beautiful French pastry. And that is like one of the most glorious Sunday rituals, other than this Sunday ritual of us doing our podcast in my dining room. But rituals are really important. And I want it to be that focus of the spiritual aspect, the mental aspect, the grounding aspect, those rituals that ground us and help us find our footing and remind us and kind of center us and kind of, it's almost like taking inventory, right? When we do these type of rituals, we have inventory of where we're at in our life. Are we stressed out? Are we sad? Are we angry? Are we content? Ooh, that's a real good one. That's a real good one. I struggle with it because I want to be doing stuff, but contentment, can we sit there for a minute with that? Are we feeling accomplished? Are we feeling pride? Are we feeling peace? These are really good moments. And when we're in our rituals, whatever they might be, that's really what they are, guys. If we take away the word of ritual and whatever the action is or the habit or whatever it is, what are you left with? It's a feeling of peace. It's a feeling of grounding. It's a feeling of, I have pulse on the world and the environment I'm in and my place in it. So what rituals, other than what you said, do you have that help ground and give you that type of clarity, composure, and wholeness?
Journaling for me is one.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
So I'm neurodivergent. I have ADHD. And so, or at least I'll find out in a couple of days because the test results come back. But the thing was, is that for me, I can't meditate because my problem is I close my eyes and my brain.
You get flooded.
No, it's not even that. It's like monkeys on crack cocaine are bouncing around in my brain.
That's why you have to practice it. It's mental.
It's not even that.
It's a muscle. You can flex it. And again, I'm going to kick your butt today. I've had enough of this.
No.
You keep saying, I can't. If you say it one more time, I'm literally going to pull you by the ear like my kids. Okay. And we're going to go have a conversation in the bedroom and we're going to change your stinking thinking. Enough's enough. You need to stop saying you can't. Okay. If you say you can't, then you can't. Struggle. You have it. It's challenging.
Struggle is a nice way of putting it because I have, trust me, I've sat, I've tried to do yoga and do the whole,
I get it, namaste, my stuff.
But the thing is for me, I'm going to probably pronounce this wrong. Reiki.
Like that.
Yeah.
Energy work.
I've had that done.
It's wonderful.
And the person that was doing it to me, they're like, you need to like your mind's racing right now. That's my thing. It's like when I'm alone with my thoughts,
yeah,
it goes from point A,
yeah,
to this.
I understand.
Before I even get to point Z.
Okay, listen to me.
Oh, okay.
Listen. Slow the monkeys. The crack cocaine has been removed from the situation. The monkeys are going to have to just come down for five, okay? Here's the deal. You know this about yourself. You've discovered it. You've taken the ownership to figure out what this is, getting a professional diagnosis, which will come with tools and support to help you with this. So it's taking that ownership of it. But at the end of the day, it always comes down to choice too, right? If we choose that we want to uncover or discover or have something or level up or do something, it has to be a choice. You have to come to that conclusion. If you choose to say, you know what, nope, I have this, that's just what it's going to be. You've made your choice. So you're correct. Yes. Again, if you say you can't, you can't. You are correct. That's the power of this too. And this doesn't always come down to rituals. We're getting a little off topic, but this is true. If you say, and you've made the choice that I can't, then yes, you're absolutely right. You absolutely are. But if you say and have an openness and willingness and know what would be maybe in your best interest as challenging or how, I don't even know how to navigate to get there, but that's an ideal location I'd like to arrive to. If you are open and you say, I could try and I could try different tools and I can go to different people because you aren't the only person out there that has that struggles with that. And there's people that are currently meditating that have that. So there might be tools in the toolbox if you really wanted to uncover them. So any listeners out there too, you know, if you're saying you can't do something, you're absolutely right. You can't. I would challenge you to get that out of your verbiage. We actually have an episode called Saying Yes, and it's the same concept. When you say yes and you flip the script and you stop saying no to everything, magic happens. This is the same thing. It's that mental aptitude. It's that openness of, instead of saying, I can't, that's easy. That's low hanging fruit. If you get rid of it and you go, well, I struggle, I challenge, I'm scared, I don't know if I'm capable, I've never been able to do that before, I don't know my capabilities, but I'm willing to try or make an effort because I see a light at the end of the tunnel, or I see that that's something I desire, whatever it may be, then you're going to be in that can space. But again, you might not be at that place, and there's nothing wrong with that either, okay? So when we're talking about rituals here, and we kind of digress, but this is a good point. There's a lot of people that are looking for some type of spiritual practice. And whether they were raised with religion or not, I think there's a point in all our adult lives, we come to this kind of crossroad where we're looking for something bigger than ourselves. We're looking for some answers. We want some guidance. And it might not be the guidance we used to get from our peers, our parents, our community. It needs to be higher than that. It's deeper than that. It's our soul almost calling for this more, right? That's kind of where my ritual came from, was I was trying to find God. I was having a spiritual awakening. My son was dying and I had literally, it's this crazy thing that I went down a rabbit hole, and it actually happens where people have a shared near life death experience, which is wild. And I didn't even know that was a thing. It's a thing. And there was a moment in the time and space, and it's kind of woo woo. So go on this journey with me for a minute. And I write about it in the book, but there was a moment where my son is dying. He is actively dying. He is not going to make it. This is like the worst of the worst, the biggest thing a parent could ever fear. I'm living it. And I don't know when day it was. I don't know how long it happened. I don't know what space we were in, but there was a very defining moment where I stood in the way of my son physically, mentally, and spiritually of him leaving this plane. And I was defiant. I was angry. I was aggressive. And I had full conviction that my son was not leaving. And there's a lot of power in that. And then after full submission, being on my, literally on the floor, feeling like I could not be in more of a trauma, horrific space to be in as a parent, I had a realization, and then I had great respect because my son turned the corner against all the odds. And people were flying in from Stanford, the Naval Hospital, all over the country to come see my kid and see this firsthand and be one of his care staffs. I mean, he was wild. The whole thing is freaking wild. It isn't even, it doesn't happen. His whole story and everything that happened to him, I am convinced, is because it was all to find God, to find a spiritual awakening, to start to have these rituals. And one of the pacts I made, and I'm being vulnerable and I'm sharing this with you guys, is I literally made a pact in that moment that you can't take my life, because I don't know how you'd take my life. And I have Bentley and I don't want to leave her. And I have other stuff I still got to accomplish in this lifetime. So I, you know, but if you can take mine and I'll give it to him. But I negotiated, as all negotiators do. And I was like, I will forever live my daily life in appreciation of spirit, God, the universe, whatever word you feel comfortable with, insert there. But this will become part of my daily life now. I'm forever grateful. If you save my son, if you help this medical staff and these trained professionals, and he beats the odds and he does what is medically proven never to be successful in a child his age with this case and severity, I will forever live the rest of my life in your grace and gratitude. And there's not a day I don't wake up and I take a moment and I'm like, thank you. I might get caught up in my bullshit and I might get caught up in my life and go back to old habits, as we do, because we're humans and we're flawed. But I always come real quick, right back to that, because I always do what I say I'm going to do. And the word is powerful, even if it's a silent word in your head, in a prayer or a pact you make with spirit. But I made one and I'm owning it and I'm going to stay with it to the day I die, because that was a business agreement. Literally, I made one with spirit. That is insane. I did it. And the proof in the pudding is my child is alive and thriving against odds still. So my rituals are all based around that. And that was insane. And I feel so fortunate that I had that happen to me so I could now have this in my life. But if you're someone who is looking to have rituals or have some connection to something bigger than themselves, and you don't need to have a traumatic event like me to have that awakening, that's just how I arrive there. It doesn't have to be that, but I would challenge people to start exploring how they can connect with something bigger than themselves in that spiritual plane. And I think rituals are a really great way to do it. Like, you know, a daily meditation or reading some type of spirituality book or journaling. And maybe when you journal, be targeted by it. Don't just be a daily diary of the life. Maybe one part of your journal, the ritual you create in your journal writing, is you do your dive, you do your dump, you do your daily whatever download, but then you always close your journal with what you're happy for that day. Regardless. All went to shit. But you know what? What was the silver lining today? And that ritual, that practice in the journaling, is that level up. It's that next step that makes it just from a habit to something, a ritualistic, that brings value to your heart, your mind, and your soul. And that's what I'm trying to say with rituals. It should be something that fills you, your cup up, in a different way that other aspects of your life can't do. And as humans, if you don't think the spirituality aspect of us in human life is not significant, you're very, very wrong. Wars have been fought over this. People have given their whole life to this quest, to these concepts. People and cultures and religions are built on this concept. This is a huge part of human life. And even if you say you're not into it or you're an atheist or whatever, you're still taking a position in it. And you're still having some ritual that is in your life and you might not realize it. It could be your walks with your dog every night at sunset. And connecting with that spirit, that animal, in a nature at the end of a day. And just having that moment of peace and serenity, that's huge. So please don't be, you know, turned off if it goes into a little more of a religious or religion or God in that space. Those shouldn't be triggering things. But again, if you're open to that and that's something you're comfortable with, I would lean into that, because any aspects of these things, they fill our soul up on such a deep level that provides so many dividends to our daily life and our future that you don't really realize. These little practices, these little moments where we check in and we do a pulse check and we kind of pull the e-brake on everything swirling around us, everything we got to do, all the pressures of adulting, who needs us, who's got this, what I got to do, da, 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 what I want to do, what I'm not doing. Shh. Silence it and have that moment with something higher in yourself. It's such a beautiful gift you can do for yourself. Jay, what are your thoughts?
No, you did talk a lot about like the religious aspect of first. Some people, like for me, it's like, I'm not a churchgoer at all. You know, I was raised Catholic, but again, it's my own personal things that, I mean, every once in a while I will go, I mean, on a Sunday, but usually I'll be the first one to tell you I am a Easter Christmas Catholic now. It is what it is. But again, it's my own personal stances on religion and the church itself.
And you have the ownership and the right to have that. There's nothing wrong with that.
But no, for me, it's like for myself, it's like my journaling is it's part daily dump, but it's also part reflection. And I think that once as you journal and you take your thoughts, for me, it's the easiest way to get my thoughts out other than going to therapy. But it's my own self-reflection of the day going, hey, these were my thoughts. This is my experiences or whatever. And it gives me that ability to reflect on that day's moment. And so I try to do it every night. Sometimes I lack and I pick it up two nights and, you know, do 2 days or 2 days worth or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it, for me, I found out that it was the easiest outlet for me.
Great.
My natural talent as being a writer. It was easier for me to put my thoughts and my feelings down on paper than it was. And it's easier for me to verbalize them too when I'm in a safe setting with a therapist. But it was journaling was my safe space.
Yeah.
Whereas like some people, like as you said, meditate. And like you said, it's not so much that I can't, it's just I've tried so many times to meditate that I realize it's not my thing. It's
fine.
Not working for me. And for me, realizing that it didn't work for me,
that's good.
Was better. And realizing that getting my thoughts and getting my feelings out with that. But so like every single night, I try to get in the part of like, I believe I'm a creature of habit. So I think rituals are a very good thing. Mm-hmm. So one of my things is as I used to fall asleep to the TV set all the time. Like I'd have
that's
like,
it's not good.
So what I've been doing recently is reading.
Good.
So, I've realized that it calms me down a little bit more and it helps me get in that comfortable spot of, hey, I'm ready to fall asleep. Because sometimes I'd be up till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, the TV set on, and then hit sleep and then roll over and then the TV automatically turns off. That's not a good way to do it. But no, reading as many pages as I possibly can until you hit that point to where you're like,
glazing over.
Yeah, you know what? Screw it. I can't finish the next page or that page. I'm going to bookmark it right there and then go. And then what I usually do is beforehand is before I get to that point, journal. So it already gives me that mind space that I'm bringing myself down to get ready to go to sleep for the night, journal my thoughts out, read as many pages as I possibly can, close the book, and then call it a night. You know, so that's one of my things. And with the morning, it's usually, you know, like I said, real estate, looking at the market, but also watching the news. I'm a big news junkie, always have been, always will be, but just catching up on current events as I watch it on the morning news programs, but not so much reading the paper anymore because I just don't have the time to read the paper. I'd rather be listening to it in the background.
Sure.
But yeah, I some people like to drink coffee. Coffee, not my thing. Tea is not my thing, but I'm drinking a
but what OJ. What are you doing for yourself that's you connected to the world we live in without noise and distraction coming into it?
Oh, wow. I never even thought of it like that.
That's what I'm kind of getting at here.
Yeah. I've never thought of it like that. When you bring up to me when you bring up rituals, it's just the things that I do in my day that are just.
I want to
like
go
that.
One level deeper.
Okay.
I'm not talking about just habitual habits. I think a lot of those habits can become rituals and vice versa.
Yes.
But I want to go a layer below that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm asking, what are you doing for your soul, not your body, not your mind, but your soul, your spirit that's inhabiting you, however you view that, think of that. Okay. Let's think of that as its own entity. Mm-hmm. What are you doing for that to fill that cup up and get that grounded and get clarity and get connected with that? How are you connecting with that?
Do my bracelets count?
No.
Then I'm not. I mean, for me, you bring up a very, very interesting thing. You're a very soulful person with regards to stuff like that.
Well, I literally yelled at God. So once you do that, you can't come back from that. I had a huge unopening.
I'm not like that. It's not my thing. And you know that I suffered a gnarly head injury. I was never one of these things where you know, I was angry with God or anything like that. Do I believe in a higher power than myself? Absolutely.
Okay. So let's stop there for a minute. What do you do to connect with that higher power, or how do you view or interact with that higher power? It's one thing to say you believe in a higher power. Those are words. What is the action you do to connect with that higher power? How does that higher power come into your life?
We're going to get into a really philosophical, religious conversation right now, because again,
that's okay. What we're talking about. That's I'm the layer religious. We're talking about.
I am it doesn't not have religious to be.
It's the religion of Jay Brown's soul.
But see, the religion of Jay Brown's soul is,
you're going the wrong way. Come back to me, monkey on cocaine.
But the religion of Jay Brown's soul is just me.
Again, how do you connect with that higher power? If you say you believe in a higher power, how are you taking inventory of that higher power's pulse in your life, however that may be?
I think you're taking it the wrong way.
Okay.
When I say I believe in a higher power, do I believe that when I die, am I going to go to heaven or hell?
We're not even talking about that.
But see, the thing is that's my take on what you're talking about right now. Because again, I am not a deeply religious person. I'm not at all.
I'm not talking about religion.
But when you talk about God, God goes with religion.
No, it doesn't. Not necessarily.
Okay, in my perspective, it does.
Okay, well, teach that. For me, it's not. It's not confined to a religion. Okay,
so
but God is everything all around us. Can be everything. I don't subscribe. But I wasn't raised religious. I was raised with a lot of religions. Like literally, in my family, there's over like 8 different religions people are currently practicing that I've grown up around.
Okay, and so you've had that.
But I have not been raised in one style. And that's not what I'm talking about. Again, we're talking about a ritual and practice we have in our individual life that takes us out of ourself, out of our noise that we've created or had created to us in our life, and connects us with that bigger whole, that higher power. However you connect, view it, structure it, the rules you've assigned to it, which there should be none, first of all, but the rules you've assigned to it, whatever that noise is, again, let's just push it to a side. What are you doing daily, weekly, monthly to check in with that higher power? Everybody has their own way of doing it, even if they subconsciously don't recognize it. And maybe this is a great moment here where the answer is, I don't know. I don't have the answer. And that would be my challenge in listening and the viewers right now to this podcast, is if you are realizing, oh, shoot, man, maybe I don't have the rituals I thought I had. Maybe my rituals are more daily habits, or maybe this is a cup that I haven't quite explored because of my own bias or issues I had with certain constraints that are put and assigned to this that really don't need to be. But what am I doing to ground myself and connect with that higher, bigger power than me as the individual and the role I play in this world and in this lifetime? And just sit with that. Just sit with that. You don't have to know the answer. I don't even know that answer. And I literally love doing deep dives into these topics. I love religious studies. I love exploring how other people and cultures connect with higher power. And that's why this is the topic of the podcast, because it's fascinating. And there is no right or wrong way, first of all. There is no right and wrong way. But I will challenge you and say that if you do not know and you do not have something that connects you, or you kind of do a pulse check with whatever this higher power broad stroke term is, I would challenge you again to maybe explore that a little deeper, because it really is an aspect of us as human beings that is deficient, lacks, but sometimes has the best effect in our personal life, is when we spend a little time in that spirituality space, however comfortable you feel with that. And to each their own.
Yeah, and I'll be the first one. I do not sit with my thoughts and yeah, I don't at all. Zilch. Zero. Yeah. None. Don't.
Yeah.
Because again, because my construct of what a higher power is goes with religion. So again, I'm not kneeling at my bed praying before I go to bed. I'm not, you know, it's just,
and
it's
that's
just me.
Not what it has to be either. So again, everybody has their own things. Like there's one person I know, a lot of surfers actually have this mentality where, you know, church for them is jumping in the Pacific Ocean, getting in the ocean, the water. They're literally baptized by water daily. And that is their higher power practice, because it's very humbling to be in the force of nature and realize you're a grain of sand in that wide, vast ocean. And the magnitude of those waves are extremely humbling. And the exhilaration of riding one and the thankfulness that in your day, you even get to have that luxury of being out on the water and on a board and in a community of other fellow watermen and water women and have that experience. That is their essentially their connection to the higher power. I think nature is a huge, huge door opener to this aspect of rituals and connecting with the higher power. So if you are struggling with, you know, how do I connect on a higher level to the world I live in and to myself and to the lot in life and my, you know, my space here of in this construct of our, you know, podcast 16 rituals, nature is a huge way to do it. I mean, how many people, you know, go on these retreats, and going back to our mind and drugs episode, but, you know, do ayahuasca and, you know, microdose shrooms and have these connections with the higher power and the spirit on this other, you know, like wake up through nature. And I'm not saying that's the vehicle to do it if you're struggling, but there's a lot of ways to connect with the higher spirit. For me, mine was in the face of trauma and bringing myself down to pure submission to spirit and a higher power that I needed to call in. Literally, it was like calling in an invisible army. I literally was on my knees calling in anyone, anything, everything that would come in and help on a higher level, more than just the medical staff, save this baby's life. And I meant it. I meant it to my core. And I believed it, and I saw the power of it, because it changed immediately. And again, everything was stacked against this kid, everything. And he beat all the odds. And when I really say that, it's insane. But everybody has their own conclusion on how they get to their spirituality. But I think rituals that are in that space of connecting with the higher power are the ones to explore. And I would suggest and highly endorse that people find rituals that go one layer deeper, like we were just talking about, from habits that are habits in the wellness space. I think those are good, and I applaud you and keep those up. But what's one layer challenging, you know, as a coach and ownership, the whole thing here is like, how can we just go one more level of greatness, one more level down for optimal wellness? How can we just keep leveling up, you know, let's go another level here. So with that, what is a ritual you can incorporate into your life daily, monthly, weekly, whatever, yearly, even if that's what it is for you, that gets you connected with that higher power? If you're going to say there's a higher power, well, what are you doing to connect with it? How is it connecting with you? That's all. Food for thought. That's my drip on that.
That's some deep drip there. Is that deep drip? Yeah, that works.
We'll just let that percolate. We'll let it.
There you go. That's a good one. I was thinking drip like coffee, and then you're like, actually, I was like, yeah, that's a good way of doing it.
Oh, comic relief, a little humor to disperse the emotions.
That's what I'm here. Good.
Yeah, let's go.
How can people connect with you if they want to connect with you?
Yes, you can connect with both of us actually at the take-ownership is the handle that you can find us at on Instagram, or you can connect with me at Allison Andrews Cantor. And don't forget, we have our monthly soul boardroom. This is where the first of the month we come together for a group coaching. You can find more at the take-ownership.com. We have more on there, but it's a great moment to connect with the ownership community. Of course, we have the book, Ownership Book, is out, and our podcast. And thank you so, so much to our sponsors and our supporters of the show. If you want to be one, go to our website, more information there. We'd love to have your support, and we greatly, greatly appreciate it. And above all, we couldn't do this without listeners and our viewers. So to all of you, we appreciate you. I hope that you find this stimulating, entertaining, Mr. J. Brown and my banter on topics. And until we meet again in a couple weeks, what is one thing you can do to take ownership over your life?
If you like today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and like. We are just 1 month away from the Ownership Launch Party on Sunday, June 9th. Get your tickets for this one-of-a-kind event celebrating all that is ownership. There will be a book signing, group coaching sessions, and even a live podcast recording. Tickets are going fast. Be sure to get yours now, because this exclusive event will sell out. For more information and to connect with Ownership, visit our website at take-ownership.com.